2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, where the Bible says, every man says according as he purposed in his heart. Everything that we do ought to be done by purpose. Notice what he's talking about. He says, every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. So he said a man ought to purpose. By the way, when a person comes to church, they ought to purpose that they're going to get things out of the Bible. You can always come to church and look for a golden nugget, and if you look hard enough and you look long enough, you'll find that golden nugget. And so we always ought to come to church looking for what God has for us. The Bible says that here's a person ought to purpose in their heart to give. And the Bible says here, not grudgingly. So they're not supposed to give, if you would please, feeling like they're under the pressure to give. But God describes it here, not of necessity. So you're not supposed to give in order to get. In other words, God, I'm going to give you this. Now I'm putting you, God, in a harness whereby you have to give back to me. But the Bible says, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And so God wants us to give with a purposed heart and be cheerful about it. You know, be cheerful as you give, knowing that the funds that you give is that which is Christ honoring, and God is going to honor those funds. Now, we talked about understanding Bible doctrines and the doctrine of giving Wednesday night before last. And we talked about how there was one that gave, of course, Abram. He was the believer that God demonstrated about giving first in the Old Testament. We saw that Abraham gave tithes. Of course, this is a picture of not paying tithes. There's a difference between paying tithes and giving tithes. All right, Abraham gave. Oh, he did not pay. The Bible teaches here to whom he gave that tithe. The Bible teaches that he's the rewarder of the person that gives their tithes and offerings. Then we saw that under the law, they gave much more than the tithe that we give today. We also saw that there's a penalty for disobedience and there's blessings promised for obedience. Now, tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the second portion of that lesson, and that is the lesson about giving. The true test of giving is going to be made known at the judgment seat of Christ. You'll see that certainly nobody can deny that a believer ought to give. When you study that which is the 10 virgins that's in the Bible, you see that they were watching. When you study that which is the talents that was given in the Bible, you see that they were working. So we ought to be able to watch and work in order to know God's will when it comes to this purpose of giving. We see that our Savior had a great deal to say about money and about stewardship. Now, what we're going to do in the book of Matthew, chapter 25 and verse 14 in particular, as we start, we see that there's a man traveling from a far country. That's an illustration of our Lord. And we see that there are those that are servants. That's an illustration of those that would be servants as far as Christ-like in what they were supposed to do. But now watch this. Not all of them did what they were supposed to do. Not all of them, if you would please, fulfilled what God had purposed for them to do. Now, notice a couple of things tonight, and I'm going to speedily go through it tonight, but I want you to hang on and get the truth of it. God places certain things in our care. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, and follow along in your Bible, if you will, please, verse 14, the Bible says, the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling from a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. All right. So you see that we have certain things that's given to us for our care. We're supposed to be stewards of those certain things. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, one to one, he gave 5 talents, another 2, and another 1, and every man according to the several ability, and straightway took his journey. And so God has given certain things onto these stewards. God has given certain things onto these servants. First off, you'll see God's given them time to be able to do things, time to be able to appropriate, to purpose, if you will, in order to fulfill God's will for their life. Then you'll see that there's talents there. Of course, talking about the talent, there are many, many different things. The English word for the talent is talking about a gift or an ability, but you'll see as we study here that a talent is much different than just an ability. It has to do with the things that God gives you. Statement number 2, you'll see that he will require us to give an account of our stewardship. Now, here's what the Bible teaches here. The Bible teaches in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 16 through 17, that there was the person that did unwisely with what God gave them. You notice that God would give an amount that he entrusted to his stewards. He gave an amount to be entrusted to those that were supposed to be good stewards over that. Some Bible scholars say this, that it was about equal to 20 years of wages. A talent that would be weighed in silver would be 100 pounds in Israel. A talent that was weighed in gold would be 200 pounds in Israel. But regardless of the weight, we see it's a great amount of money. So God is giving to those stewards there that are present, he's giving them charge over money. Now they've got a choice. They've got a choice. They can use it wisely, if you will, Matthew chapter 25, verses 16 through 17, or they can be somebody that uses it unwisely, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 18. But God is requiring them to be faithful over it. Listen to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, the Bible says, let every man so account, it says, of us. Now listen to it. It says, of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So God said, I'm telling the steward something. I want you to be faithful. I want you to be faithful. By the way, you watch a man and you can tell how God blesses a man according to his faithfulness. I've seen different ones in business. I've seen different ones in the pastorate. I've seen different ones in evangelism, different ones on the mission field, different ones. If you will stay faithful as a Sunday school teacher or faithful as a bus captain or faithful as a somebody that's a helper, God will bless your faithfulness. Now, God does that. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 12 and in verse 48, the Bible says, for unto whomsoever much is given, the Bible says of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, listen to it now, of him they will ask the more. So God says the more that God himself gives you through men is the more that God requires from you. You know, here's what we think about. We think about stewardship. We say that's dealing with the 10% that belongs to God. Well, I differ with you tonight because God owns it all. What about the other 90%? Does not God also own that? Are we only supposed to be stewards over that which God tells us to give back to him as a tithe? No. Matter of fact, the Bible talks very much about that, as we'll see in just a little bit. But that accountability is required of a steward. So all Christians that receive any type of money, any type of material things, ought to understand where they come from. They come from God. You would not have anything tonight if it wasn't for God. You would not have any type of possession tonight, any type of friends, if it wasn't for God. So some Christians will make good use of their money. Look at your Bible. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 16. The Bible says, then he that received five talents went and traded the same and made them other five talents. Likewise, the Bible says in verse 17, likewise, he that had received two, he also, it says, gained other two. So here were some people that was wise in what they were doing. But then there are also people that are unwise in the money that God gives them. Matthew chapter 25, verse 18, the Bible says, but he that received one, it says, went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, it didn't say hid his money. Notice the phraseology, if you will, or the terminology that the Holy Spirit gives. He said hid his money. See, everything belongs to the Lord. And I'm supposed to be a good steward over what God has given me. So the Christian must give an account to God. Watch it. Matthew chapter 25 in your Bible. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, and after a long time, the Lord, it says, of those servants cometh and reckoneth, it says, with them. So what's he doing? He's coming back and he's going to ask them to give an account. He's going to reckon with them. He's going to say, show me what you did with what I gave you. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 20, the Bible says, and so he that received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. And watch what the Lord does. The Lord said unto him, well done. It says, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make the ruler over many things, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And so here's a man that was given five talents. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take and I want you to produce. I want you to use that to produce more. What took place? He went out and he produced more. And the Lord came back and the Lord said, hey, he said, you're a good and faithful servant. He said, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Well, the Bible also talks about, watch this, the one that had the two talents. Then it comes down and watch the one that has the one talent. Matthew chapter 25, verse 24. The Bible says, he which had gained one talent said to the Lord, I know that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strowed. All right, so what he's saying is, boy, I know who you really are. And isn't it amazing? To the degree, watch the statement, isn't it amazing, to the degree that a person understands God is to the degree that a person will serve God. Some people would say, you know, God has let me down some, and since God has let me down some, I just don't know if I can trust him. God has disappointed me some. Now notice the viewpoint here. First off, here's a man that's given five talents. Here's another man that's given two talents. They don't say anything derogatory against their Lord. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. They've got a good outlook. Man, they're coming and they know that God's been good to them. They know that God has taken good care of them. They've got a very good outlook. You don't hear them complaining. You don't hear them saying, well, God has let me down. You don't hear them saying that my Lord is unjust. But here's the person that God gives the one talent to. And what does he do? He looks at the Lord and say, well, I just wonder why God is not answering my prayer. I wonder if God is unjust. I wonder if God is not right. I wonder if my Lord is not right. And so to the degree that he has, listen to me now, a trust in God, to the degree that he looks and the way he sees God. All right, have you ever been with two people? One of them sees the glass half full, the other one half empty. Have you noticed the different personality of the people? Have you ever been with somebody when they walk in and you know, I mean, they're kind of bouncy, they're smiley, and you know, people like to be around them. Been around somebody else, and when they walk in the room, everybody leaves. They look for the nearest trash can to hide in, put the lid on. All right, now wait a minute. Here's the story here. Remember what he said at the beginning. Watch what he said at the beginning, if you will. Listen to the text that I read here when dealing with Paul and the church at Corinth. The Bible says, listen to it, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, listen to it now, not of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So here's a person that comes to church. Now watch, when they come to church, if they're excited about church, when they come in, they're going to be excited about church. When they leave, here's a person come to church. Boy, they're looking for something, and they're all revved up anyway. They've been walking with God all day long. They've been walking with God all week long. And so when they come to church, they're already revved up. Preacher don't have to try and prime their pump to say amen. They're ready to say amen no matter what he says. You know, he doesn't have to prime their pump to sing. Why? They've got a song in their heart soon as they step their foot on the property. It's premeditated. It's purposed. Oh, wait a minute. Watch this. Here's what the Bible says. Look at verse 25, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 25. The Bible says, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent. At least he knows whose talent it is. It says, thy talent in the earth. And it says, and though thou has, watch it, that is thine. And so he said, I just want to make sure you didn't lose it, Lord. I mean, you know, I know you gave it to me and I know what you told me to do with it, but, and there's always going to be that but. Listen to it in verse 26. The Bible says, and the Lord answered and said on him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that, watch what, that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strowed. And so he said, you know that that's the way it is. And by the way, that's why he has us. You know, he could choose if he wanted to use the angels, but he has not chosen to use the angels. He has chosen to use you and I as the instrumentality of his handiwork. And so doing, we get the blessing of that. It says, thou oughtest therefore have put money in the exchangers. And then it says, at my coming, I should have received mine own with a surety. He said, look, you should at least gain some interest out of it. You should at least did something with it. And all right, and so there's Christians that will lose reward. Look at verse 28. The Bible says, therefore the talent from him. So they're losing it and give it on to him, which hath the 10 talents. He said, look, if I give you something and you don't use it, he said, then I can take that from you and give it to somebody else. And you know, I found this out very, very, very quickly in business, that if you want to get something done, you always find a busy person. I mean, if you want to get something, now you don't find a person that's just having a hard time managing the few little items they have on their task list. No, you find somebody that has a stacked task list, and boy, they're kicking it out and kicking it out and kicking it out. That's the person you give more to. You know why? Because they know how to be productive. So here's what he says right here. He says, look, he said, I'm going to take the one talent from you and give it to the one that's already proven his productibility. I'm going to give it to somebody else that is able to do it. Look at verse 29. The Bible says, for unto everyone that, watch it, it says, have shall be given. It says, shall be, have abundance. So he said, the person that I give it, they're going to have abundance. He said, but the person I take it from, they're not going to have that. It's going to be taken away. So he said, that person that I give it to, he said, they're going to have an abundance. They're going to have more. Watch it. Statement number one, God places certain things in our care. Statement number two, God, watch it now, he will be the one that will require us to give of our stewardship. God will do that. Statement number three, God should, watch it, we should consider ourselves on an expense account. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean this, that we possess things, but we don't own them. We're simply stewards. Remember when I was talking about the body the other night? Remember when I was talking about how God is the landlord, we are the tenants, but we have a manager that's the Holy Ghost? See, the Holy Ghost is our manager. He's the one that, if you would please, that is over the residence directly, giving us charge about what to do. Where does he get his orders from? He gets his orders from the landlord, who's the owner. And what are we? We're just tenants. The Bible says that you and I, if you would please, just like our Lord tabernacled in a physical body, you and I have a temple, and that temple is the Holy Ghost of God. All right, so that's where he dwells. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be a good tenant so that people, when they come to visit me inside of the place where I'm holding residence, they don't find dirt. Aren't you embarrassed when somebody comes over your house and they find dirt? Aren't you embarrassed when somebody comes over your house and things are not put decently and in order away? Aren't you embarrassed when somebody comes over to your house and they show up unexpectedly and the dishes are piled mile high in the sink? Does it embarrass you when maybe the children did not put away their toys and all of a sudden somebody shows up unexpectedly? All right, now wait a minute. And so the Bible is talking here that we are supposed to be the one, if you will, please, that understands that things should be accountable to God. Let me give you some verses. I'm going to hasten through it. Psalm 24 and verse 1, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So God said, I own everything in the world. It all belongs to me. It's all God's. Not just a part of it. It's all God's. Everything a saved person touches, it's God's. Everything an unsaved person touches is God's. All right, wait a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Hey, we were out at that ranch, and my wife said, come here, come here. And we'd already retired to the room that night. She said, come here, look at this. There's a gigantic setting of the sun. I mean, you know, like if you went outside, you're going to be so close to it, you're going to burn. I mean, it was just huge. Now, what is that? That is the handiwork of God. looked out the window, and there was a little 7 or 8 year old girl chasing a rabbit and almost caught it. That is the handiwork of God. Went over after we tried successfully to hit the golf balls and the wind was carrying them, but we saw which way the wind was going, and the wind was blowing our way, and there was a bunch of deer out there. I said, let's pull a Brother McCarty. You know, they can't smell us because we're downwind. And so, or the wind was blowing the other way, Brother McCarty, I'm learning. The wind was blowing the other way. And so, but they couldn't smell us. And so here's what we're doing. We're getting closer and closer to them. The wind was blowing, if you would please, away from the deer. Let me get it right. Away from the deer. They couldn't smell us. Because, all right. And so we're walking up. And it's got this stand up there. And I told my wife, I said, we're going to pop our heads at the same time. Because as soon as they see us, they're out of here. And so sure enough, we popped their heads up. And their ears went up. They stared at us. And they were gone. But now, what am I saying? Handy work of God. You know, you cannot ignore God's wonders. You cannot ignore his handiwork. It's all God's. You step outside and you step on the soil, it's his. You step in the grass, it's his. You breathe that nice summer, hot Texas air, it's his. I'm saying that all of these things belong to God. The Bible says in the book of Haggai, listen to it, chapter 2 and in verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, I'm just defining everything so that everybody knows that everything just belongs to me. But you have people that will not put him first. You know why? Because money has a grip on them, such as some people don't tithe and give offerings in January because they're paying Christmas bills. Some people don't tithe and give offerings in February because they're paying for the high fuel bills and the car upkeep. Others come March, they're saving up to pay their income tax. So they put God behind. In April, they don't pay because they're saving up for clothes for Easter. In May, they're not going to pay because they're saving up for the rain that threatens the oncoming crop. In June, they won't pay because there's too little rain, and so now they've got to save up money to water the crop. In July, they want to take a vacation, and after all, that takes money. In August, they want to pay for the extra expenses that they incurred during the vacation, so they have to pay the credit card. In September, they got to put the children in school. In October, they have to buy the winter clothes and pay the doctor bills. In November, they want to take a Thanksgiving trip. And in December, they start shopping again for Christmas. And where's God? I mean, there's got to be a place where we put God in. I'm saying tonight, statement number one, God places certain things in our care. Statement number two, we are required of God to give an account of our stewardship. Statement number three, we should consider ourselves on God's expense account. Statement number four, we should give because we love the Lord. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There's a good example of giving. We should give because we love the Lord. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, 1 John 3:1. We should give because we love him, for God so loved, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. We should give because God is love, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. We should give because God is the beloved that was given to us, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11. So there should be the premise of our giving is because God gave first. You know, when somebody gives to you, do you not want to do something in return for them? See, that's how come, if we would understand what the Bible teaches about that gift, a man's gift, watch this now, maketh room for him. Two ways to look at the verse. When you give something to someone, it makes room for them in your heart. You got it? But then when somebody gives to you, it makes room for them, if you would, in your heart when they give to you and their heart when you give to them. There's two ways there. I don't know about you, but I love the Christmas time when I give to my children. There's more of a joy giving to them than it is to receive from them. But when I give to them, it makes room in their heart for me. When they give to me, it makes room in my heart more for them because I realize the sacrifice. I realize the intensity. I realize the structure. I realize the design. I realize what they're trying to do. And did you know that gets God's attention also because of the way that we give things? That's why God says, he said, I love it, a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. He said, I just love the way that they do it. Watch this. And so one of the motives should be simply because we understand the love of God. But where did that love, where was it going? Well, the Bible says, listen to it, we love him because he first loved us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, verse 19. God says, look, he said, the reason that we ought to take and give love is because we have first been loved. So it's easy to give love when you have a demonstration. We teach the preacher boys how to teach and preach. Okay, it's easy to follow something when something is demonstrated. We train people in personal soul winning. It's a whole lot easier to copy something or learn something if there's a demonstration. You have people that practice, if you would please, on-the-job training. There's a demonstration. You have other people that's practicing all sorts of mentoring programs. What is that? That's a demonstration. So people become like we are. Or wait a minute. And so love ought to be the great motivator. If we love him, we'll keep his commandments. So we ought to be motivated by the love that we have for them. Wait a minute. Then love causes a man to work longer for his family. Put in more hours, earn more money because his wife wants that dress. The children want that food. So they work harder. They find a way to do it. I told my wife, I said, I don't understand some people in our society. You know, I don't understand. I said, you know, we have never had to do without, but we've always found a way. We just found a way. It wasn't like, well, there's a block there and I just don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I'll just give up. No. We just make a hole. I mean, that's just been our nature. I wasn't going to let my wife, when living in Brooklyn, New York, I wasn't going to let my wife go hungry. We had children. I wasn't going to let my kids go hungry without. We traveled in evangelism. You know, we go into a store, my kids could testify. We go into a store, I'd say, look, anything you want. When we're going in a store to get something to eat, we'll get whatever you want. Well, Dad, can I have tea if you want it? Can I have Sprite if you want it? Now, the reason I did that is because they sacrificed on the road so much by living on the road. If they wanted the pleasures of being able to eat a certain type of food or something like that, then I'm going to let them do that. And I made sure that there was the funds there to be able to do that. Now, watch, I'm saying this. I'm saying that, look, it's just very important that we understand there has to be some motive for that which is work. We work because we love the Lord. We work because it's the right thing. We work because that's exactly what God would have before us. There's no excuse. Wait a minute. I'm saying that these people had their priorities right. Let's skip over that. You can do the Bible study. Let me go to the last point here, if I may, and cover this tonight. I'm done because I'm running out of time. Statement number 5. We should give because God's commanded us to give. Now think about this statement. The Bible talks about Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever command you, though I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So you see 4 components here in this particular group of verses. We're supposed to go. We're supposed to teach. We're supposed to baptize. And we're supposed to teach them to observe all things. You can never do any of that unless you first go. Now, in order to go, there's got to be the finances. Or for a missionary to go, there's got to be the finances. You know, to sit there and watch a missionary that comes through and they say, oh, I've got a burden for this field. Once they go into the field, they can't raise deputational funds because it's taken from their country and they'll get deported. So they've got to raise their funds before they ever go on the field. That's what they do on deputation. All right? So they have to raise the funds in order to survive. All right? When we send out the buses, there has to be the funds that do that. The Bible says as ambassadors, we're supposed to be servants. And as servants, we're supposed to obey what God tells us to do. Even so much so, you know the verse over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 where the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He says, look, I beg you. I beseech you. I'm asking of you diligently. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So God says it's just a reasonable thing to do. You'll see it in your Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1, and in verses 8 through 11, you'll see here that God is talking about the financial plan to undergird missions. He tells us when to give. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, upon the first day of the week. So we're supposed to give upon the first day of the week. Bring that tithe and that offering into the local church. The Bible talks about each member is supposed to get personally involved. And by the way, it's systematic. Just like you pay the rent, just like you pay the mortgage, you put it in schedule and you systematically do that. All right? The Bible talks about that first day of the week. You'll see that there's the church in Macedonia. The church in Macedonia, a very poor church, but yet they gave, the Bible says, of their depth of poverty, they gave. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 2 through 3, the Bible says that there was a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy out of the depth of their poverty abounded, it says, onto the riches of the liberality. All right, so God's saying that they gave and they did not give an excuse. The Bible talks about how an actual person gave and they gave for missions. The Bible talks about how the children are supposed to take and they're supposed to give for the lost souls of men. Then the Bible talks about how we're supposed to labor, not just to give. Let me give you a couple of closing verses and I'm done. Where the Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 38, you know it well, give and it shall be given unto you. And the Bible tells how it's going to be given. Given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. The Bible says, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure ye meet wherewithal, it shall be measured to you again. God says he watches the way we give and he gives back. He gives back. But he says when he gives it back, it's different. I was preaching in Alvarado, Texas. Mrs. Wells, remember this. There's a lady sitting in the back. We were getting ready to go over to the Philippines to preach. There's a lady sitting in the back. And she came up to me. She said, last year, God spoke to my heart about giving you $1,000 for your trip. And I went home and I argued with God. And she said, for a whole year, I've tossed and I've turned. And she said, God laid another figure on my heart, and I wasn't about to go through another year of agony by not obeying God. She said, so here's a check, preacher, for $2,500. This year, I'm going to obey God. You know, God has a way to speak to people's heart, and he watches you. You don't have to do something to prove yourself. Now watch this, if you will. God watches you. God watches you. You know, a long time ago, I resolved the fact that I work for him. And because I work for him, he takes care of me. I have no issues. No issues. You know, now he'll touch somebody's heart over here to do something, or he'll touch somebody's heart over here to do something, or he'll touch somebody's heart over here to do. All I need to do is stay true to him. You know, I stay true to my boss. I stay true to my Lord. I stay true to my Father. And I sincerely serve him, and I give him everything I've got, then he's the one that touches the hearts of men. Amen. And by the way, he'll touch, watch it, he'll bring special people in your life. He'll bring special things in your life. He'll open your eyes and let you see blessings that you never saw before. How many times have you walked into a shoe store only to find out that they just went on sale right before you walked in? That's God. How many times were you looking online to try and find airline tickets, and you looked the day before and they were $3,000 and $4,000, and you came back and you looked and they were running some type of special and it was like $1,800? I mean, how many times? See, God is the one that all we're supposed to do is serve him. Give. You don't give to impress somebody. You don't give to make, watch. But you give as God lays on your heart. And God said, I'm watching you. And then he gives back to you. And he does that every single time. And he does that to say, look, I just want you to know I want to be special to you too. Come on. I don't know how many times we've seen preachers' wives, especially preachers' wives, that sometimes just get forsaken. You know, many times we pat the preacher on the back, but many times the wives would just get forsaken. I don't know how many times we travel around America, and I noticed things about a preacher's wife. She needed something. And Mrs. Wells and I would talk many times that their Bibles were even so messed up. And I'd talk to Mrs. Wells, and I'd say, and right now I've got three preachers right now that I know their Bibles are over 15 years of age. And, you know, they're having a hard time. And I've got it marked down, who they are and where to send it, you know, and, you know, putting aside a little bit here, putting aside a little bit there. And boy, you know, they're going to get a brand new Bible. We're going to make sure of it. You know, I mean, just, are you listening to me? And you look for ways to be a blessing. You look for ways to help people. Now, you can't be everything to everyone, but you can sure be a blessing to a few. But you don't do, look, here's why you do it. You do it because you just love people. You just love the Lord. Come on. Those of you that give to the bus ministry, watch this. Please get this. There's a little kid that you never see that gets off of a bus that these bus captains and bus workers work with on a week-to-week, day-to-day basis. You don't see them. One day they raise their hand for salvation. They get saved and they get baptized. You say, oh, that's no big deal. That's just a kid. That's a changed life is what that is. They go home and the Holy Ghost of God is real inside of them. And the Holy Ghost, when all of a sudden they see a big brother do this or a big sister do this, the Holy Ghost says, no, you better not do that. You just better not do that. Well, the Holy Ghost begins to work in their heart and they come to church and they're getting fed a little bit and they're getting fed a little bit. Are you listening to me? Well, if we'd had soul winners, and I believe this with all my heart, if we would have had soul winners in the right place at the right time that was receptive, we never would have had that 9/11, if you would please, that took place. Never would have had it. If we would have just reached out, I just believe it. I believe the answer to changing a community is not politics. I believe the answer is one-on-one soul winning. Getting out there and giving them the gospel and stopping people and telling people the good news of Jesus Christ. Look, I've seen villages change. I've seen communities change. I saw the guy that did the filibuster over in the Philippines. The guy I led to Christ on the side of the mountain. And all of a sudden he goes to the Philippines and they wanted to vote in homosexuality. And he stood up and for 3+ hours he filibustered that thing and he preached. And he would not sit down and he just preached Bible, 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 Bible. And Brother Abante got up and he started backing it up. And so when he sat down, Brother Abante got up and he started preaching Bible, Bible, Bible. And then somebody else got up. But it was started by a new convert that didn't know much. Hello. And that was the guy that got saved in the government office. Look, I'm saying, look, it is so important that we understand that when we give, God is the one that gives back. God is the one that works in the heart. God is the one that changes things. Watch this, if you will. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits and all of thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And it says, thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. Listen to this. Paul said this to the church at Philippi. A very poor church, by the way, church at Philippi. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, and then down in verse 19, the Bible says, not that I desire a gift. He said, but I desire fruit that, watch it, may abound to your account. Then he says to that church, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What is he saying? He's saying, I just want you to know that I'm giving everything I've got so fruit can abound to your account. To your account. You know, when Brother May goes out, he goes preaching around America, and he goes soul winning. You know what? You know what's happening? Because we support him, and he's our pastor emeritus. And you know what happens when he's leading somebody to Christ in Maryland, or he's leading somebody to Christ in Indiana, or he's leading somebody to Christ on one of those mission fields? You know, when he's leading, here's what happens. Fruit is abounding to your account. Amen. We send out a Jason Tomley or Mike Lofton, or I go off to preach someplace, or somebody else goes out and they go off and they're going out and they're getting it done. And when the bus captains go out, are you listening to me? He said, I can't always come, preacher. But, you know, when the bus captains go out and, boy, they're knocking on a door and they're talking to a soul winner, goes out, knocks on a door. Somebody passes out a gospel tract that you help to pay for. A fruit is abounding. Now, it's better if you do it all. I mean, I want fruit to abound, but I like leading people to Christ too. All right, now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will, and I'm done. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth, it says, nor rust doth corrupt. Now, it says, where thieves, it says, do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What you invest in shows your heart. What you invest in. I was sitting, and I'm done, Sunday night before I preached that message. And I was sitting there, and I was thinking about the little kids. It was little children walking down the hallway. And I said, if for no other reason, I need to preach that message for them. Why? Because as we give ourselves to the Lord is the one that blesses.